Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, baseball! It's happening. This is not a drill. The Washington Nationals are playing a game today. Major League Baseball season opening in the nation's capital in 2 hours right here on The Fan. Danny, we've done it.
All we had to do was sift through a pandemic, one false start, one rug pull, one Lucy with the football. Nine times this semester, nine different guys won't be in uniform, but one surprise bonus person is that we thought was out, but he's not out. He's very much in. You thought he was out. I thought he was out. Darryl's thought he was out. He ain't out. He's in. Baseball counts today. Max Scherzer's on the bump. He'll be grunting, cursing under his breath, saying mean things about the opposition, and that's just fine by me. I can't wait to get home and sit this fat butt. I'm using my pointer finger, and I'm pointing at my fat buttocks to sit and make a dimple on the couch while I watch Max Scherzer huff and puff his way through probably 6 2/3 today. I can't wait. Bring it in.
You mentioned we got a surprise addition to the roster. Trey Turner never left, but he's back. Trey Turner was not at the workout yesterday, and we assumed that all the guys that weren't at the workout wouldn't be available today and for the foreseeable future for the Nationals. And you know what happens when you assume? You get whether or not Trey Turner is going to be in the lineup or not wrong. That's what the adage has always said.
That's what they've always said.
Turner batting second and playing shortstop.
Here we go.
Victor Robles, Trey Turner, Juan Soto going to bat in the first inning of Nationals baseball, home half the first at Nats Park in front of 5,000. Looking forward to seeing what the crowd looks like and what kind of energy comes from 5,000 Nationals fans that have those tickets. You know, because of how competitive it's been to get a ticket, that the folks that are at the ballpark are going to be throaty. They'll be loud. There's going to be energy. And players have been looking forward to this for a long, long time now. I got to tell you, if you're coming downtown to go to the game, or if you're just coming down to the ballpark area to be in the vicinity, I know I've talked to a couple people who are doing that. They're coming down tonight. They're going to watch the game outside at a bar down here and maybe get something to eat for dinner and go home. You may not recognize the place. Have you, since you've been back in studio last week, have you actually walked around this area?
I have.
So I got down here today, earlier than I would have thought. It took no time. And I walked down Half Street to the center field gate, and I walked around the ballpark a little bit. When I get home, I'm going to over-talk during the first or second inning to my wife today about how much this place has changed. Restaurants.
Yep.
Ice cream places.
So many spots, man.
Bars. Breweries, coffee spots that I'll never drink coffee at. Unrecognizable. It's unbelievable. I bet you there are twice as many options now for food and drink.
I think so.
Around the ballpark as there were the last time I was here a year ago.
If it's not that exact number, it's close. Remember when this first happened, it was Justin's Cafe, and that was it. It was Justin's Cafe and a McDonald's / car wash, and that was the entire list of things that you could do. Now,
I had some meals at that McDonald's / car wash.
Of course you did.
Some of them were good.
The McCar wash was excellent. But I'm telling you, this world has changed. And when we finally are back, like back for realsies, where we're just allowed to be alive and go and live and don't have to worry about stuff, it's going to be a hell of a destination. I wish this was done before the All-Star game when we had it a couple years ago, but that's just me picking nits.
Yeah, it's funny how our brains work because I found myself thinking, I said, you know, these businesses, they would have done so well during the World Series run.
Right.
Like, all I kept thinking was, it's a shame that these businesses weren't here for that. And then I stopped myself and I said, why am I even thinking about that? Good on DC. Good on Southeast. Good on the banks of the Anacostia.
It took a minute, but it's happened. Yeah, it took a minute, but it has happened, man.
The original renderings of the ballpark years ago, you go back to, did Nationals Park open in 2008? Off the top of my head, that's what I'm thinking.
Either 08. 8 or 9.
Oh, 08?
If you go back to like 06, 07, when we knew it was coming, and you saw those renderings and the images that were lining some of the construction fences, what it looks like now is what those pictures showed for 2008 and 2009. And then I don't know if it was the recession that came and everything that was going on then, but a few years went by and there was basically nothing, to your point. Justin's Cafe.
Justin's Cafe.
And not much else. And Brian Peck, weirdly enough, I don't know if people know this, our old imaging director that used to do all the voicing on the station, they had him sit outside, and whenever anyone wanted to go in, he'd say, "Welcome to Justin's.
Welcome to Justin's Cafe." Like, that was what he did as a side hustle.
That was his secondary
gig. As a side gig. They were like, "We just want you to sit outside and welcome people to Justin's Cafe, but say it in your radio voice."
On his business card, it says, "Radio voice guy." One time, I did the imaging for the X Games in Colorado.
Yeah.
And Justin's Cafe guy.
And I was a greeter at Justin's Cafe.
But it looks like it now. The pictures didn't lie. It took a while, but we're here. And I heard Heisty say this, and I actually had to go count the years and count the numbers up. But Heisty's not a liar. Craig Heist is a lot of things.
There's a lot of things you could say.
I would say there's 100 things you could say about Craig Heist.
I think that's fair.
None of them are that he's a liar. Year 17 of Nationals baseball. This team that didn't exist when I was growing up as a Baltimore Orioles fan.
Mm-hmm.
This team that wasn't even a twinkle in my parents' eyes when I was starting high school. 17 years old. Our baby's all grown up now. He's got a driver's license.
He's driving.
Starting his senior year.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else can you do at 17?
College applications.
Going to prom if he gets to have a prom this year. Probably won't get to have a prom. But
playing varsity now?
Varsity. Sport player.
R-rated movies?
R-rated
movies. Daris, good drop in, Daris. Good drop in.
I don't even have to drop the Nationals off. I used to have to drive the Nationals to the movie theater, and they would hold hands with their little girlfriends, and I'd look in the rearview mirror, and I'd say, "Hands? Hands, Nationals?" And now, God knows what they're doing.
Who knows what they're doing? Midnight.
You think they're just sitting there watching a movie? I'll bet the Nats are necking. They're probably necking.
My little sweet boy would not do that.
I'm just saying. It's possible.
It is possible. The whole world is.
But they've never won a World Series, and now's the time.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
Hold on. We've got a report in our ear here.
Daris, what? They won one?
In 2019 was the year?
Huh. Oh, snap. Sorry about that, Braves. My bad, Mets.
City boots.
Everything okay over there, Philadelphia?
Well, we'll delay the start of this game as they raise the World Series banner right in our eyepieces again. Coming up afterwards.
We did this last year. We got to do it again.
We got to sit through it again. Jeff Blauser.
But after the game, A.C. Slater's going to tell Jesse she's the most beautiful girl in school. I didn't want to go with a Screech thing. I thought it'd be too soon. You know that Dustin Diamond left us?
I know, man. I know.
I'm not even trying to laugh about it.
I know.
Your face is really weird. Like, you're uncomfortable with the idea of talking about Screech right now.
I would agree with that assessment.
Why?
There's no upside in speaking ill of...
What's not to like about Screech?
I've got a couple stories for you. Happy to pass them on during the break, but now's probably not the time. I think you're right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just remembered.
Uh-huh.
He's a comedian.
He was indeed, and I put that in quotation marks. But again, there's no reason to go down this road.
All right, we're not going to do
No reason to go down this road.
Let's go back to the Nationals.
Nationals opening day. Remember
opening
that one.
Day.
Opening day. Opening day is here.
17 years old.
17, man. Grant, I remember. Oh, go ahead, please.
You go first.
No, I was going to say, I remember being a D.C. kid who played baseball in high school and college in the district. I didn't even set out to do that, but I ended up doing that. All we ever wanted was a team of our own. And Major League Baseball used to use D.C. to, like, force some municipality to act right, right? We were going to get the Padres at one point. We were going to get the Rays before they existed, before George Steinbrenner's like, well, I vacation in Tampa. Let me have a team down there too. And they just sort of picked Tampa. It was always going to be D.C. We were always sort of flirted with, et cetera. But, you know, there were things that stood in the way. And the idea that this Expos thing could happen still seems so far-fetched. It still didn't seem real even once the reports came out, because we'd been down this road before. Like the Dick's Sporting Goods, I believe, or I think some of the sporting places where you could buy stuff, had D.C. baseball jerseys. Like the Padres were going to be here. It was a done deal until it wasn't. Just things kept happening. The rug kept getting pulled. And the fact that not only are they here and it's D.C.'s own, but the fact that this part of the city that used to just be a big pile of salt, where all the roads needed salt, that's where they kept the pile, was right down here. It was an exit. There was nothing here. Now it's a vibrant part of town. Now there's a billion places to eat. Now that stadium is you know, 12, 13 years old, and the team is good. The idea that that is possible seemed impossible for my entire life. And the fact that I now have to pinch myself every time to not take it for granted, every opening day I get excited about it, man.
It's amazing. Fans, by the way, trickling into the ballpark right now.
Go ahead.
They just opened the gates.
Smell the smells and see the sights. Take pictures and post them, please.
Fans will be in the stands at Nationals Park today for the first time since the NLCS, right before they won the World Series back in 2019. Today's the day. And if you're one of the few, the proud, if you got the golden ticket to go see the sights, good on you. And make sure that you take advantage by posting those images, those videos, and getting the word out to people how things go today at the ballpark. But I hope by the end of the summer we're going to get to a point where there are more fans there. Max Scherzer was pretty candid with us. We had him on the show last week on the day that he was supposed to have opened the season. And he said he wants to get more fans in the stands. Now, he said that before the team had its own outbreak to deal with.
Sure.
But I don't know that his opinion will have changed or been deterred. I think we're going to get more. One of the big reasons I feel that way is you just look around Major League Baseball, and most teams, most fan bases, are packing ballparks with more than 5,000. Only one is acting like it's 2017 all over again, and that's the Texas Rangers, where like the pandemic has just no longer exists
right now. We don't have it.
At that ballpark.
Some people have it. We don't have it.
But you know what? If cases don't spike and there's not major issues that come out of that, they might be the test for other teams.
Yeah, they're the canary, right?
What if we did half that many? If they're doing 40, maybe we could do 20. Now, I don't want to be a part of the experiment, but if someone's experimenting, it seems like the Rangers are, then you should probably use the information if you're the Nats or the Phillies or the Mets or anybody else.
This is a key thing.
Somewhere else.
Use the data. Nobody here, well, maybe some people are, but for the most part, I don't think anybody on this program was saying you've got to go nuts. Nobody's saying you do standing room only. Nobody's saying that we have a coughing contest in each other's faces. What I am saying is when it was zero, let's do some. Do some. Nobody, I don't know what the number is. Right now it's 12% capacity. That's cool. What if in a month it was like 25% capacity?
Yeah.
Or like 35% capacity? What's crazy? What's fine? What's appropriate? I'm all for caution. I'm all for common sense. But let's actually have some sense instead of just saying we're going to be restrictive no matter what. Let's keep the line moving a little bit as the data demonstrates, right?
The fans in the stands will see a lineup today that looks about half like the actual lineup. And you can see, tell me where you think, okay, now
right, hands
part
on
of
buzzers.
The lineup.
Hands on buzzers. I got this.
That was affected by not having 11 options that you would have had otherwise.
Here we go.
Batting leadoff and playing center field, Victor Robles. So far, Everything fine?
Yep. I've not rung in yet.
Hitting second and patrolling shortstop, seventh in MVP voting last year, Trey Turner.
Hey, nice surprise. That's fun.
Right fielder and one of the great players in the game already, hitting third, Juan Soto. So far, this is the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
This is the team that you thought you'd be seeing when you turned on Masson today for the game. Is Masson televising the game today?
It's on Masson 2. Masson 2.
But they are going to opening days on TV?
Listen, I think so. But am I sure? No.
Okay.
I think so. I think it is.
I know that the game's on the radio today.
Yeah, 106.7 The Fan,
so
right here.
If Masson chooses that they're not going to televise the game today for some reason, then make sure you listen to 106.7 The Fan.
Ah.
Batting cleanup and playing first base, Ryan Zimmerman.
So I'm not going to ring my buzzer because there's a lefty on the mound. That's not the craziest thing in the world. They're facing Drew Smyly. Zim might get a start at some point or a lot of starts. I'm not going to go nuts yet. So no buzzer.
He also hit, numbers approximate, 750 with 6 home runs this spring. So for him to hit in the middle of the order on opening day as the longest tenured player on the team, my panties aren't in a bunch.
My pantaloons are fitting nice. Good.
Hitting fifth, playing third base, Starlin Castro.
That's a regular. He probably would hit a little bit lower in the lineup normally, but it's a righty. Maybe you don't want Schwarber in there. I'm not panicked yet. I'm not going to hit my buzzer yet.
So far,
yeah,
baseball's happening.
Baseball.
Washington Nationals, designed to win upper 80s games and compete for the postseason by Mike Rizzo. This is the team. This is what we kind of counted on.
Baseball team.
Little surprise. We haven't called a couple names yet, but maybe they're coming. Maybe this is later in the batting order. Batting sixth and playing second base, Aaron Perez.
Buzzer. Oh, buzzer, Danny. What is, oh my God.
Right. What is, oh my God.
I'll take unacceptable things for 400. Aaron Rodgers, the new host of Jeopardy.
Well, here, but he has played in 600 major league games. So he at least has a career that has happened over 9 seasons.
We got a pretty good sample.
Batting seventh and playing left field, Andrew Stevenson.
This is 106.7 The Rochester? What are we doing?
Wait. Well, we're just talking about baseball.
Okay.
Here's what you need to know about this team today. This is the embodiment of what is happening. The guy hitting eighth and catching, Jonathan Lucroy, was not on the team a few days ago. They signed him to a minor league deal this weekend because both of their catchers are unavailable. Lucroy, who was an insurance policy, I think he was 6-for-18 with the White Sox this spring before they released him. He's starting today and catching Max Scherzer, who he'll meet. Sure, they've crossed paths because they've been in the big leagues forever. Lucroy's 34 years old. Scherzer's almost, you know, closer to 40 than 30. He's almost 37. But he's never caught him.
No.
He's going to catch him on opening day as he's meeting his teammates. Shaking hands yesterday probably at the workout going, guys, Jonathan, how are you? They're like, oh, you're our starting catcher.
Oh, hey, man, are you starting? They've never played catch before.
Scherzer on the hill and batting ninth because we are back to pitchers batting in the National League in 2021. Now, I know a lot of our listeners are happy about that. I'm looking forward to the full-time DH in the NL, which should be coming to a ballpark 3 blocks away from us next year permanently. I think that's going to happen. But if you love pitchers batting, you got 162 more of these for sure, so enjoy it.
Congrats, I guess. You win for now. Enjoy it. Whatever it is, enjoy it.
I'll be the guy going to the bathroom or getting my snack when the pitchers are batting today so that I don't miss the actual baseball when it gets played.
But Bartolo Colon got a hit that time. Wasn't that fun?
That was a lot of fun.
I'm sure that's worth it.
Trey Turner being available is huge.
That's a boon.
That is a big, big deal. Want to get into that in a little bit. Also at 245, Dusty Baker said something wacky today. He's upset that people are being mean to the Houston Astros, and they need to get over the fact that Houston cheated because it was a while ago. We got to talk about that. But next, dud of a national title game last night because Baylor, surprisingly enough,
woodshed,
gave Gonzaga no chance. The team that we thought might dominate the game got worked over, and it was basically over a few minutes in. We just didn't know it yet. That's next on Grant and Danny. On the Fan, your flagship home for the Nats, will begin their season in an hour and a half.
This will do it. This will do it. Scott Drew's dream comes true. Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
Congratulations to the Baylor Bears as they are national champions. Capping an incredible tournament. You forgot how much you missed the NCAA tournament until these last few weeks. Getting it back after a one-year respite, Danny. I never want to go another year without it.
It has everything. It's the best sporting event. It's the most unique sporting event in the world. No other country has this. Nobody else has the brackets or the thing that stops America. Everybody's got a vested interest in name that small school that we never heard of until that week. Florida Gulf Coast, Oral Roberts, VCU, George Mason. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, we know some of those schools around here, obviously, but like nationally, nobody had ever heard of VCU in California before they went on that run to go to the Final Four. Just an amazing thing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The big dogs always play, and then the upsets are perfect. It's just, it's nothing else like it, man. And it was a wonderful thing to have it back. I missed it so bad last year. It was the thing probably sports-wise I missed most last year, and it lived up to all the hype this past year.
I'll talk basketball with you in a second, but first on the broadcast. You know, I'm a little bit of a broadcast nerd. Jim Nantz is so good at calling sports mm-hmm. and calling games. The end of game scripted whatever he yells as the final seconds tick off thing, it doesn't keep him from being one of the best. He is that. Nothing will take that distinction away from him. He's just better than it. Why does he keep doing it? Why does it have to happen?
I don't know.
That call right there, to me, is a little cringy. It's rehearsed. It is probably written down in red. You're better than that, Nantz. You're the best, man. You're about to go call the Masters days after calling the NCAA tournament. You don't need to read that thing that you wrote.
Right. And you know it's, and again, he's so good that the bar is so high. And there's, and just him being himself would exceed that bar every time because every call would be great. But when, like, let's say the Tiger wins the Masters, he'll go, and the Tiger roars. No, don't do that. Right. Just do the excellent thing that you were doing for the first 4 hours.
You have to always say something that is related.
It's just so bad. And the Bulldogs are bullish. No!
America was too bearish on Baylor. The Bears have caught that elusive salmon in their paws.
For Coach Mark Few, he joins the few.
They are champions they in are 2021.
Don't do
the
that.
The Few, the Proud, the Gonzaga. No, 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 no. Listen here. No, 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 no.
You're too good.
Stop it. Leave that for the people that are trying to get gigs calling AA Eastern League Baseball.
Seriously.
Games. You do the good thing that you do. Raftery's still great.
I love him.
A lot of guys, you know, who have a personality and a shtick become that character mm-hmm. too much. Berman became the Schwami. He couldn't ever be Chris Berman. Like, he walked in to a McDonald's and he's looking up at the menu and he goes, number 7, please. He couldn't just live. He couldn't be himself.
He just couldn't be.
Raftery hasn't really done that yet. He's still.
I don't know how he avoids
it,
by the way.
He threads the needle.
I don't know how he does it. Because, you know, no matter what defense the opponents are in, he's legitimate. But I still love it every time. I get a little giggle.
Right. I know the end's coming. And all broadcast long, Nantz has just hit bombs one after another, like batting practice. The home run derby that's about to take place at Coors Field.
Coors Field.
17 rows deep, 26 rows deep, 43 rows deep. Juan Soto hitting a ball over the train in Houston. And then it's, you were too bearish on Baylor. The Bears have climbed the mountain, and they've caught the salmon. Like, stop it.
Oh, my God. The
Bears have clawed DiCaprio's back again. They've won the national title. Like, no.
No.
Anyway, so that's the end of the broadcast part of it. Now the basketball part of it.
Indeed.
Were we too bearish on the Bears?
Hello.
Baylor, Danny, my goodness, last night.
So we talked about this a little bit yesterday with a couple different guests.
Have they missed? Since the game started to when we're talking right now, have they missed?
There was like one guy, like end of the bench or something. I mean, we didn't spend enough time talking about them. And I think that's not just you and me. I think the country didn't. Because of what Gonzaga was, what was on the line for them, what they'd done, the miracle way that they'd gotten past UCLA, how dominant they've been kind of throughout the tournament. Baylor was picking up steam, right, as they were going. They were playing better and better and better. They beat the hell out of Houston, who is a hard team to beat up. You could beat the Houston Cougars. You can't. And they're better than them. But to beat them the way that they did should have put us more on notice, GP. And I missed that. I said, hey, I don't think Gonzaga's played a team as good as Baylor. They were supposed to play in December, got canceled. But whatever. I mean, this Baylor team poses a lot of challenges in their own right. We didn't give that enough credit. And I missed that. And I think a lot of people did. Because this was a Gonzaga story more than a Baylor story. And Baylor said, not so fast, my friend.
I love Jared Butler. He is an incredible college basketball player.
Yep.
What am I missing, by the way? I looked up mock drafts going into the NBA draft, and he was nowhere to be found in the top half of the first round.
He's for some borderline late lottery. And I don't. I'm with you. I don't quite get it.
The thing I saw last night didn't have him going in the first 20-some picks.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it depends on where you look. I've seen a few where he's in the teens. I can't imagine after this tournament what he did last night. That stock has gone down.
Do you like a guy who can shoot the daylights out?
Yeah. Is that something that you're into?
Is it important in the NBA to hit shots from the outside? He'd be the third best wizard tonight.
A dubious honor, but yes.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah.
Davion Mitchell, who's going to be their highest drafted player, I would think.
They're right there, neck and neck. I mean, Mitchell is explosive as all hell. I didn't know he was that quick. I've seen them a number of times this year, GP. But getting his own offense when the shot clock was winding down, a couple times they would, you know, the Gonzaga switching everything. He got some mismatches, easier for me to say. That guy was way quicker than I thought in terms of explosive getting to the basket.
I just thought they were great. And the story was Baylor was awesome, not that anything bad happened or was negative for Gonzaga. This was a Bears story to
me.
We do a thing sometimes after the Washington football team plays where we say, did they win or lose, or did the other team do the opposite, right? Like, who won, who lost? Or did both happen in that given day? To me, that was a Baylor won
Baylor
more
won.
Than Gonzaga was bad.
Yeah.
Now, the take that is going to annoy me and has already irritated me is Gonzaga finally got exposed, man. Told you they were soft.
Mm.
Told you that cupcake schedule would come home to roost, brother. The tough guy take that the 31-1 team that won all of their games other than one and then lost once by 10 or more points that worked their way through the tournament bobbing and weaving with beautiful passing like they're the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, if they played Baylor 10 times, they'd get beat 10 times. No, last night, Baylor in the first half came out guns blazing. Gonzaga didn't play well in the first part of the first half. They turned the ball over way too many times. This was not a Gonzaga got scared, the moment was too big. Stop it.
Right.
Baylor was better.
They were
the two
excellent.
Best teams in the country played. I think if they play 100 games, honestly, after last night, it's hard to say this, Gonzaga might split them with them. I really believe that. I think that these two teams are very close. Last night was Baylor's night. But stop with the I told you so Gonzaga takes because they didn't win all 32 of their games. You know how infuriating that is that this team goes 31-0, gets to the national title, doesn't win the national championship game, and now we'll have to hear that they were a fraud.
Yeah, all they did was smack all comers. If you played Gonzaga until last night, you got smacked. The only team that gave them any kind of a game was West Virginia. Over the course of the season.
And stop pretending like they didn't play a tough out-of-conference schedule early. They beat Virginia by double digits. I think they played six tournament teams this year.
Yeah. Virginia, Iowa they smashed. They whooped Kansas's butt. They beat major conference Auburn. Again, they were supposed to play Baylor. That was going to be the collision course early season. This is the marquee game, 1-2, and it got canceled. So not their fault at all. But to me, the key in the game was, again, the thing I didn't give enough credit to, and this is the thing I probably overlooked, was Baylor's ability to switch everything, Baylor's ability to have all their different guys, no matter who they were, everyone played their role incredibly well. Credit to Scott Drew. How athletic defensively they were. So a dude that is going to go in the lottery, probably, Corey Kispert, a great college player, he wanted no part of anybody that was checking him, whether it was Teague, whether it was Mitchell, whether it was Butler himself, or when Vital would switch on him, he couldn't get a shot off. He couldn't move. He's going, I can't do, I can, if my feet are set, somebody kicks it to me, I'll step into a jumper. But that guy that is a really good college player and is going to be a pro couldn't move around or do anything against those guys because they're that athletic and they were just swarming. That pressure negated some of the advantages, maybe size-wise, that Gonzaga might have had.
I feel bad that Gonzaga didn't play a better game. Not only for Gonzaga, but for me.
For my entertainment value.
Yeah. For Danny. For Ryan and for Darius, for the four of us, mm-hmm. and for the people listening. That game should have been an epic. It should have been a classic, and it wasn't. Baylor was too great. And now when you look at the resumes, you see 28-2 with Baylor, and that was with all the COVID issues that mm-hmm. they had.
That's right.
They could have been undefeated this year. I mean, they could be the team that went down as one of the greatest basketball teams ever, if not for COVID. So they got theirs. Drew's a great coach. Happy for the program, happy for them. But we were robbed a little bit of what could have been a better game just because of the start being out of whack. 9-0 out of the gates, and all of a sudden it was like Gonzaga was chasing their tail. But give Baylor full credit and full marks.
100%, man. They
and
were great.
I need people in the media to stop crushing Gonzaga today. To me, it's silly.
Yeah, who did Baylor play, by the way?
Right.
You know, like Baylor's schedule wasn't unbelievable. They beat Illinois out of conference, but their biggest games were conference games. They played a Big 12 schedule.
That's the difference is that you're in a conference where you're playing adult programs. So Oklahoma State, you're dealing with a guy that might go first overall in the draft. You know, they lost to a team out of that conference, Oklahoma State did, in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the difference is that they're in the Big 12. But to your point, Gonzaga had a better out-of-conference schedule.
100%.
They have to because of the conference they're in. But do not let last night change the narrative, which was that tournament was the best. It was just great to have it back. People mistake one thing about radio and one thing about our show all the time.
What is that?
They think that we come on the air every day and just talk about what we want to talk about the entire time. So in other words, you and I meet and we have a little convo about our rundown as we're putting it together with our producer, Darius, every single day. And I think that people's thought is whatever we care about and we want to talk about is what we talk about. And that's just not the case. It's not how it works. We talk about the things that we think the majority of our audience, broadcasting, not narrowcast,
it's an important distinction,
wants to hear about. Know this. If today we talked about only what I wanted to talk about for the entire time we were on the air, we would spend 90 minutes ahead of the Nats pregame show talking about Dusty Baker's comments yesterday about fans being mean to the Houston Astros. So we'll get into that next, and then we'll finish our show strong going hard with the Nats ahead of the first pitch. But baseball-themed next. Dusty Baker's upset because fans are being mean to the Astros. First four games they've played in front of live audience, since they cheated their way, we found out, they actually cheated all the way to the World Series and won
success.
The 2017 World Series because they cheated. We know that now. And fans have not been very nice to them, and they're heckling them. And Dusty doesn't like it. And he's saying, be nicer to us.
Let it go.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. This is the final show we'll ever do together ahead of the 2021 Washington Nationals baseball season.
I see what you did there. I was going, where's it going? How did you get out of this one? And then you did. You wiggled out. Nice.
So the Houston Astros have started their season. They didn't have to play in front of fans in 2020, and I use that terminology. They didn't have to play because they would have gotten absolutely lambasted in every ballpark they went to and heckled and made fun of by crowds all over the country. And if there were 40,000 plus people in every ballpark, it would have been a very difficult, arduous season that would have felt like it was never going to end for them. Because timeline here, ahead of the 2020 season, we found out that they cheated their way to the 2017 World Series title.
That's right.
Which they still have. It's not taken away from them. We found out that a lot of their players, and they're really good players, and I like them a lot. Some of them have moved on. George Springer, as an example, is in Toronto. But these guys have cheated their way to the MVP award, the distinction of being arguably the best players in the league at their positions.
Multiple ALCS appearances, two World Series appearances, including a win.
No suspensions.
Right.
You know, these guys were not fined exponential amounts of money. A little bit of public shame. You know, they came out and they apologized after they got caught.
Very heartfelt.
Had some press conferences, sometimes with some hard-hitting questions, a lot of times without them. That's the extent of the time served for the Houston Astros. Dusty Baker already thinks people are being too mean, their manager. Dusty Baker already thinks that what is happening around baseball, again, they've dealt with this for four games, in ballparks where there have been a couple thousand fans, and Dusty's acting like, we're going too far here, guys. You think about the Astros. Think about the kids that are watching.
The kids!
Listen to what Dusty said yesterday. Quote, you can tell the amount of hostility and the amount of hatred in the stands, he said in a Zoom call. How many in the stands have never done anything wrong in their life? We paid the price for it.
Did you?
What price, by the way, did you pay for it? Exactly. Answer that for me, Dusty. How many people have not cheated on a test, he said, or whatever, at some point in time? Because when I cheated on tests, by the way, and I got caught, they said, hey, that 100 you got, you get to keep the 100.
You still get to have it.
But just so you know, I don't want you cheating anymore, and I'm going to publicly tell everyone you cheated. That's how it worked, I'm sure. I didn't get in trouble, didn't get kicked out of the Honor Society. Nothing happened. I just cheated on the test. I got to keep my 100. That's how it works, Dusty. Goes on to say, it's easy if you live in glass houses, but I don't think anybody lives in glass houses. I think sometimes we need to look at ourselves before we spew hate on somebody else, because that's what's happening. Is the poor Astros, these victims. They are victims, Danny.
You saw Alex Bregman's apology. You saw him almost, you know, emote.
This is the quote.
A little.
This is the one that just ricked me. This is the one that chapped my behind, Lloyd Christmas style. It's a bad situation for America to me, Dusty Baker said. When you hear things, what are the kids supposed to think in the stands? And some of them are kids.
Some of them are.
They're following their parents. It's sad to me. People make mistakes, and we've paid for ours, and I wish they'd leave it alone.
I got wishes, too. Do I get to say mine?
What did you pay for?
Right.
What did you do after getting caught cheating to make up for the cheating? Nothing. You won a World Series. You got to another. Guys won MVP awards. Guys won lots of games and hardware and became rich, making more money than maybe they would have. I happen to really like Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and George Springer and Carlos Correa. I like those guys. They didn't have to do anything. There weren't suspensions. And by the way, you signed up for this, Dusty. You went there knowing they were cheaters and that they were about to get eviscerated. And you lucked out because last year you didn't have to deal with this every single game in every single ballpark. You got lucky. You should be counting your blessings. It's been four games in front of a combined, 20,000 people? And this is too far? Someone threw a plastic trash can on the outfield grass last night? And we're all supposed to feel bad for the Astros? This is absurd.
Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, a couple other people were made scapegoats. $5 million fine and a couple draft picks were taken away from the Astros. Dusty Baker had nothing to do with it, but was trotted out there as kind of the new face for a press conference. And he couldn't answer any questions, of course, and he doesn't understand what all the hubbub's about. Meanwhile, nobody still wants to address the Wall Street Journal report that talked about this, not just banging on trash cans, but the dark arts, a systemic usage of cheating and technology that took place for years in Houston. They got off scot-free because it wasn't collectively bargained and nobody could quite figure out what the punishment is. So we just hope that it would go away. Thank God for those people not just letting it go away. Thank goodness for every fan that's going to go to the ballpark when the Astros go on the road that is going to have a long enough memory to boo their asses and shame them every step of the way. They didn't pay in real court. They didn't pay in baseball court, so they can pay in public court. With all due respect, Mr. Baker, please pipe down. Please pipe down on this one. We never got our pound of flesh. That organization thumbed their nose at the rest of the world, cheated their you-know-whats off, and acted so indignant when they were caught doing so. And only a fraction of what they actually did was caught. Oh, I can't. I have no time for this at all.
The nerve.
The nerve. The chutzpah.
The audacity.
The odyssey.
The odyssey. Part audacious, part bold, part odyssey. The audacity of Dusty Baker to act like fans have gone too far with the Houston Astros. You got to be kidding me. This is a bit. This is a prank show. Where's Ashton Kutcher?
Good bit.
Who's the dude doing it now? I just saw there's a new Ashton Kutcher show.
Wilmer Valderrama?
No.
I just threw that name out there. I felt good off the bat.
It's a basketball player. Blake Griffin, I think.
Blake Griffin's doing it?
Blake Griffin's doing like a punk show now. Where's Blake Griffin? Max Keller missed out. Where's my camera?
Where's my camera? Where's Blake Griffin's camera?
Where should I be looking? Dusty. You prepare for a long season of this, and you wear it. The Astros need to wear this.
Wear it.
I am not a person that thinks that Bregman should never be in the Hall of Fame or Altuve should never be in the Hall of Fame. Do I think those guys should have been suspended? Yeah, probably. Do I think you take away the World Series title? I don't. It happened. You got to wear this, buddy. You got to know what you're getting into. And by the way, stadiums have barely anybody in them, and it's been 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten my chance to yell at the Astros yet. Every fan in every market should get their chance to yell at the Astros.
We were robbed of it last year, my friend. We were robbed of two things. The Nationals victory tour that everyone else gets, and the ability to go to the yard and come together right now and boo the Astros. And let them know that it's not okay. Let them know that we know. The biggest thing is that we know. They think we don't know. We know.
There's a lot of things that are annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that will always infuriate me is when the aggressor pretends to be the victim.
Oh.
Like when the bad guy pretends like, well, you're being bad. You're being mean to me. Guy runs into my car. I get out of my car and I say, dude, what the heck? And the guy goes, please don't be mean to me. That's what this is. You're the reason we're here. You did this. And by the way, I want to say this one more time. It's been 4 games and barely any fans are in the stands. I can't wait until you're in a ballpark with 40,000 fans.
You know, send their asses to Texas. Go to the Rangers right now.
And everybody bangs trash cans the entire game. That's what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a walk of shame. In every city, you should have to walk out there across the field while everyone says shame and rings a shame bell. In 29 other cities,
that's right.
You should have to do that. You haven't done it yet. It's just starting. Get comfortable, Dusty. You signed up for this. You wanted to do this. You went there. You didn't find out after you got there. Oh, wait a second. You guys cheated and people are going to be mean to us the whole season?
Oh, dear. Uh-oh.
I couldn't believe this quote. The kids. Think about the
kids.
Yeah,
I believe it. You're right. That's the message. That's what we're... Because what you do is you invoke a couple different things where it's somehow unpatriotic. You somehow let us know that you're concerned about the kids. If you're that concerned, you don't roll down to the cheating is cheaters that ever cheated and then flipped us a couple birds when we asked some questions about it. Maybe there's a good message for the kids, right? Here's son, sit down on daddy's knee. Here's the message. Cheaters don't have to apologize, and if you do get caught, trot out a nice man, and he'll answer questions and basically say no more questions because it's mean. There's your lesson for my son? I don't think so. It's absurd. The desire for victimhood in this case by, as you said, the perpetrator is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Great example. We don't always get to talk about what we want to talk about.
We talked about it today.
We talk about what we need to talk about. Because this would have been 90 minutes on these comments, as far as I'm concerned. I'm more passionate about that than anything. But I am elated that we got baseball games here in Washington, D.C. again, starting in just over an hour with the first pitch of the 2021 season. How have your expectations for the Nats changed based on this COVID outbreak? Let's open up the Gambit DC listener lines right now. Line them up in the order they come in. We will take your calls. I also, Danny, we got to get calls from people going to the ballpark.
Let's go.
A few people have tweeted us saying they're on their way to the game with a ticket. We want to hear from you if you are going to the game today. 800-636-1067. Let's turn the page to opening day in the nation's capital, year 18 of Nats baseball on GMB. Opening day on 106.7 The Fan. The Nationals and the Braves 1 hour from now. Atlanta is salty. They just got swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. The Nats have been waiting to play for well over a week and finally get their opportunity to do so on this, the 6th day of April. Welcome back to G&D on The Fan. Thanks, as always, for making the show part of your day. We want to hear from you guys as you're getting ready to go down to the ballpark. We'll get to the calls in just a second. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Danny, how will this COVID outbreak impact the Nationals' start to the season? They are without two members of their starting rotation,
yep,
Patrick Corbin and John Lester, both of their lefty starters. They are without their three biggest offseason acquisitions. First baseman Josh Bell, switch hitter with power. Left fielder Kyle Schwarber, they're banking on 30 home runs from him, helping lengthen the lineup. They're even going to bat him leadoff, apparently, occasionally, against right-handed pitching. And Brad Hand, their new closer. They also don't have Will Harris, who's on the injured list with his own injury that's non-COVID related.
Right.
So you can make the case that the four biggest pieces that they've added the last two off seasons aren't available. Their lineup does include Robles in center, Turner at short, Soto at right, Zim at first, and Scherzer's on the hill today. I feel like this is one of those games that with Scherzer going head-to-head with Drew Smyly, you got to find a way to win this one because soon enough, Fetty, Ross, Voth are starting, and that makes it a lot harder.
This is not a long lineup. With Schwarber, who's at least a presence, I'm not terribly bullish on his season without COVID-type stuff, but still, a guy that can pop one out of the yard, right? That's a presence in that lineup. Same with Josh Bell. That's a presence in the lineup. I'm more bullish on Bell's potential this season, but that's not necessarily the rabbit hole I want to go down. Now, after Castro, you don't really have normal Major League Baseball regulars in there. You got free agent pickups, minor league options. You got guys that are readily available the last week of spring training because that's who they are at this point. And Hernan Perez and, Jordy Mercer comes back, et cetera. It's that caliber of player. That's not somebody you can win with sustainably. Can you get away on a 4 p.m. start on a getaway day, giving Trey Turner a day off and starting Mercer at short? Sure, you could do that with one guy, but half the lineup, basically, that's a big challenge to be sustainable over those first couple weeks. But I really think the big loss might be the guys on the mound. Pretty much if you're a left-handed pitcher right now for the Nationals, you're not eligible. Whether it's Hand, Lester, and Corbin, that's where they're going to feel it because that's now all of a sudden Voth, Fetty, God knows what else, right? Instead of those guys at the starting rotation, and then sort of minor league options or lesser bullpen options in key roles. That, to me, may be their undoing.
Baseball didn't do the Nats any favors either.
Well, yeah.
By making them play a doubleheader tomorrow. It would have been really easy for Major League Baseball to have scheduled the game that they're going to play against the Braves as a makeup date tomorrow, later in the year. The Braves come back to Nats Park twice. There is a common off day ahead of one of those series. It would have been really, really easy to do that. And baseball probably feeling like it's taken okay care of the Nationals by pushing their series with the Mets deeper into the year, by pushing the first game of this series back, said, no, we'll have you play an opening day, day two, doubleheader, 24 hours after opening day. You'll be back on the field in the sixth inning of a game of a seven-inning doubleheader. And that's what they're going to have to deal with tomorrow. This is a really difficult start to their year, obviously. It does lower my expectations slightly. I had them right around 85, 86 wins. I'm at 84 or so wins for this season. You know, maybe 83.5 would be a good over-under.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mets are better, and I think the Braves are better. I say that, though, knowing that on nights where Scherzer throws, they can beat anybody. I don't care if it's the Dodgers. I don't care if it's the Yankees. They should have a great chance to beat Atlanta tonight. Max Scherzer, a right-hander who's going to be one of the top vote-getters for the Cy Young Award probably at the end of this season if he pitches like himself, is better than Drew Smyly. Really good down the stretch last year. Spin rate on the curveball was up. 38 strikeouts, final 22 innings. Braves rolling the dice and gave him $11 million this offseason. Good story.
Yeah.
He's not Max Scherzer.
No.
So you should get a better start out of Scherzer than they get out of Smyly. The question is, to your point, can you get anything out of the bottom of the order? I know that Robles, Turner, Soto, Zimmerman, and Castro, 1-5, give me a chance to score runs. 6-8 ahead of the pitcher spot. Hernan Perez wouldn't be on the big league roster if not for all this. Andrew Stevenson would have maybe been on the bench watching opening day. And Jonathan Lucroy was signed as an emergency option this past weekend.
That's right.
And is going to catch tonight.
Yeah.
Can you get anything out of the 6-9 spots in your order offensively? If not, it's hard to win.
It just is. And, you know, your stars will do something once or twice a week. Right? I mean, that's what they do. Like, Juan Soto will have a Juan Soto day. Trey Turner hits for the cycle when they go to Colorado. You're going to see star moments, but sustainably day-to-day, you need length in your lineup. You just do it in this day and age.
Apparently, Billy in Manassas, who is on the guest line right now with us, is on his way to the ballpark.
Get you some, Billy.
So let's go to the Gambit DC listener lines. Billy, how are you?
What's up, boys? I'm in my truck with my smoking hot wife, heading into the ballpark, and it's a beautiful day. Let's play two.
It is a really nice day. I got to ask you, how hard was it to get the ticket? Are you a season ticket holder and you were first come, first serve? Or how'd you get it?
Yeah, exactly. So the way the Nats do it is you get kind of cash credit for your season tickets. So I went online and there are seats you can pick. You pick a couple of seats and that's it.
That's
awesome. And, you know, we're really lucky because obviously we didn't have opening day tickets. We had today.
Oh, right.
And this is de facto opening day. So,
you hit the lottery, bro. You thought you were going to see game four or five,
which is still a good game, but not opening day. That's awesome, man.
Good for you.
Yeah, opening day, you know, last week was going to be cold and blustery, and today is, you know, 75 and perfect. And, you know, I hope everyone going in today just brings their A game, all the fans. I mean, last year was stolen from us. As Nats fans, we were unable to celebrate our world championship. We didn't see the ring ceremony. We didn't see the flag being raised. We couldn't give these boys the cheer that they deserve. Now, I know a lot of the players who are not with us, they're on that team, but I really hope the 5,000 fans today and get loud and get rowdy and give these guys some love. So I'm excited. Here.
I hear you. Billy, do us a favor. Call us tomorrow. I want to know about some of the protocols and just how it felt in the ballpark. We could chat about that later in the week.
Done. Will do. Thanks guys.
You, appreciate you, buddy. Be well. If you're a fan in the stands today, as unrealistic as this is, like I'm just putting myself in the mindset if I was there with a ticket, you're trying to represent 8 or 9 people is basically what's happening. There's 5,000 of you, and while it's unrealistic to expect it to sound packed or
just can't,
it's not going to be the same, right? The energy is not going to feel like a playoff game. But there are normally somewhere around 40 to 45,000 people in the stands. You're basically trying to make up for 8 or 9 people that would normally be able to provide what you're trying to provide.
In the movie Rogue One, when they're deciding to go to Scarif to try to find the Death Star plans, Cassian Andor says to the troops, make 10 men feel like 100. That's what you're trying to do. As best as you can. You're trying to make it so that this small group of people that's so enthusiastic, it's more than 5,000. We can't compete with 20,000 people. We're not the same. But it's a good thing we're not having a rock fight. We're having a baseball contest.
In the movie The 300.
There we go.
King Leonidas.
Ah!
Had 300 of his merry men. And they used a narrow passageway to fend off 10,000 men. Let's go to Jack in Leesburg on Grant and Danny. Hello, Jack. How are you?
Hey, guys. Yep, I'm heading to game two. And just same thing that Billy said. I just feel like the luckiest guy in the world. You know, these tickets, I'm just a partial season ticket holder. And I could only get these tickets. They're like the only ones that left available. And now I got two. I'll be in section 105 getting a big old sunburn and as many Nats dogs as I possibly can.
Yeah. Boy.
Well, that's at least what you get. You got to eat enough hot dogs for 8 or 9 people. Whether you make enough noise for 8 or 9 people.
Too, so. Get you some, Jack.
Enough beer
talking,
and hot dogs for 8 people.
I can't wait, boys. I'm going to make a ton of noise. So I'm going to hang
up.
That's
awesome. I appreciate you, man. Cannot wait to see some fans back in the stands. Supposedly, the banner that's up that was unfurled last year, comes down, and they'll raise that again with people in the ballpark.
Do that as many times as you feel like,
as far
as I'm concerned. Yeah. Until everybody, all the season ticket holders had a chance to come through the yard and see it, keep doing it.
Donate it to each game to a different person. Tonight, Clark from Bethesda is back in the ballpark for the first time since 2019.
Boom. Raise
Clark,
it.
You get to touch the button. And then he hits the thing that, like, the garage door, the banner goes up. We should just do that
and
until the
slow
end of time. Tonight is the triumphant return to the ballpark of Danny from McLean.
Oh, cool.
Danny,
wow.
You get to hit the button.
I love it.
That's a great
deal
idea.
Deal, man.
Nats, we're trying to help you here. Chris is in Hyattsville. Chris,
Christopher.
You're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Happy opening day, Grant and Daryl.
Die.
Listen, so, yeah, I'm adjusting my net. I was bullish, cautiously bullish, if that's a thing, I think he said.
That's a great turn of a phrase, by the way. I love that.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's an EB original. He was cautiously bullish about RG3. But anyway, I had them at 91 wins and a wild card. I really like Josh Bell, and I think this is Trey Turner's, you know, he's basically almost in a contract year. So I think he's going to ball out. And obviously we got Juan Soto. I like Hand. I really like the roster construction this year, especially I think the bullpen is much more better prepared. So, but I am hedging now 3 wins on that. So I got them at like 87, 88 wins on the season because of all this situation.
Shenanigans.
But I want to talk about, another injustice. Grant, you were talking about Dusty Baker and his just arrogance. There's another person who has skirted their responsibility and accountability for quite some time now, and that's one Danny Ruye.
Oh, no.
He promised us that he could kick a field goal.
How is this
relative, a great point?
Coming up now. Point.
Of all
he,
the days,
he promised us he could kick
like
an extra point with relative ease and has refused to demonstrate such skill, much to our chagrin of the P1s and Grant, I believe, as well.
Like,
so I will not rest until I see that happen. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I did not see that turn.
Not Mark and Resting. Yeah. Is it Mark and Reston? I think that's a call.
I think that's what it is.
Until you see that happen is great. You should keep bringing it up. It should happen. So it was not that he could kick a field goal with ease, by the way. Danny claimed that he could make 19 out of 20 40-yard field goals. That was the bet. And, you know, there was a time where you said, let's do it. I'll do it.
I can absolutely do that. That time has passed.
And,
well, I can't do that anymore.
So now he's readily admitting, finally, we've worn him down, that he couldn't do it. I once told you I would give you $500 if you could do it. And you were all gung-ho, guy about it. But then his wife called him in the break, and she said, you're not doing that. And then
she's you're quite literally not. We need the money. You can't bet $500. Because what if you slip and hit the upright
on
the second
you
one?
You bet me that you'd pay me $500
right.
as well.
We bet $500. Yeah. And my wife's like, you literally cannot do that. And I was like, okay. I'm really sorry. I got carried away on the show. Because the point that I made at the time and I'm making now is correct. The kick should go in. The kick should be good. Stop missing kicks from 35 yards. That should never happen. Stop missing extra points. Long kicks, I get it. The short kicks, every kick should be good.
But you said
be automatic.
You'd make 19 out of 20 field goals from 40 yards.
Because kicking is easy. From 40 yards and in, every kick should be good. Outside of that, we could start to talk
now
about 95%.
Now that you've come up off some weight and you're doing great. You look like you're down 20 or so pounds.
Yeah.
I think we need to get back out on the field. You're in game shape. You were playing tennis today? Tennis,
Ruye? These legs, these muscles, that's the loosest definition of what a muscle is. I mean, I technically have them, but I'm not muscular. You see what I'm saying? These muscles can't do it. They can't physically do things. They hurt, and they get sore, and they break down in a way that I'm not ready to deal with. I can't do it. I can no longer do it, but kicking is easy.
We had Dustin Hopkins, kicker for the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
We had Tressway, holder for the Washington football team. And we had Nick Sundberg, former long snapper, sad to say, who was here for 11 years, willing to participate in the bit. Sundberg was going to snap. Way was going to hold. Hopkins was going to coach you. You were going to kick. We had companies come forward.
That's not true.
That's true.
We have companies.
We did. The St. James offered up the venue for you to kick.
Oh, I guess they did do that.
We had places that were willing to bring food. We had listeners saying they were going to come out. It would have been one of the greatest.
Did it get that far?
Oh, yeah. You just told the show to shove it.
I feel like it didn't get that far.
You would feel that way, but you'd be wrong. We had so many people in on this, and Danny said, Actually? I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I could make 19 out of 20. I'm just not going to show you.
Well, the point stands. The kicking is easy.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. First pitch of the national season is 45 minutes away. We're taking you up to Charlie and Dave's pregame show next. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will be taking over with the pregame show in about 8 minutes on Grant and Danny. Stretch run of an abbreviated show on the Fan. It is opening day in Washington, D.C. One guy I can't stop thinking about today and what he must be going through is Jonathan Lucroy. Now, I don't think he's particularly nervous. He's 34. He's been in the big leagues forever. This is a guy who once had 24 homers in a season, longtime member of the Milwaukee Brewers and a two-time All-Star. But as of Saturday afternoon, he wasn't on a team. He signed with the Nats on Saturday night. He's getting to know his teammates right now, and for the first time ever, he will catch Max Scherzer.
No big deal.
2 minutes from now as they warm up in the outfield before they do it in a big league game. What a weird last 72 hours it's been for that guy.
That's the life of the fringe big leaguer, though, man, right? It's like the guy, I mean, listen, 2016, he was great. Same with Hernan Perez, by the way. This is the old guys that were awesome in 2016, but now starting for the Nats in 2021 team. But it's when you still decide, I'm not ready to hang it up yet, and I'd like to be included, this is kind of the deal. You get these little 10-day pieces, and you get, you know, the last second, you show up with your gear and a broken-in catcher's mitt, and let's go. It's a it's an absolute odyssey. You're right. They're basically sitting there counting the seconds until he can get his, hopefully, knock on wood, negative COVID test back so that he can actually be included in things and get checked out and physically stretch and play some catch with Max Scherzer and say, so what do you like to throw? Like, that's got to happen before he takes them out.
Braves got off to a terrible start to their season, losing their first three games to the Philadelphia Phillies. They haven't gotten going offensively at all. Ronald Acuña Jr., considered a top 10 player in baseball, hitting MVP 167 candidate in their first series. Ozzie Albies, who will bat second today and play second, is looking for his first hit of the year. Freddie Freeman, and he'll figure this out pretty quickly because he terrorizes the Nats.
It's 896 against the Nats.
He is 0 for the campaign. Again, they've played three games. Marcell Ozuna, they spent a lot of money to keep this offseason. Big-time bopper, cleanup hitter in this order. Pop like Orville Redenbacher. He's hitting 091 right now. The one guy on this team who's got a batting average over 220 is their catcher, Travis d'Arnaud. Dansby Swanson, 000 with his batting average. Christian Pache, their tremendous defensive center fielder, hitting 100. So if there's good news, Max Scherzer and this pitching staff are going up against a team that didn't hit at all in its first series and now had the day off yesterday and theoretically is going to be searching for some timing. If you're Max, I think that gives you a little bit of hope that maybe you're catching them at a good time. The Braves might tell you that they're due, though, and they're ready to break out.
Yeah, so I hope they stay cold, obviously. That lineup is going to be one of the best in baseball, not just in the NL East. I think one of the best in the sport. I really do. I like how deep they are. They can do everything. They can beat you a bunch of different ways with power, speed, batting average, and the whole nine yards. So, Max Scherzer, no pressure, but you got to go out and shove here. I wonder how long do you think he's going to go, GP? With the sort of the balance of innings management, the balance of, hey, he didn't throw that many pitches last year, didn't work near as much as he normally does, but he's also superhuman. I mean, you think that Davey kind of says, treats him like, hey, you're Max Scherzer, just go until you're tired? Or do we try to manage this thing for a little bit?
Well, today is going to be your traditional first week of the season management, where he's not going 112 pitches.
Right.
I think you get him up around 100. If he threw 100, 203, that wouldn't really surprise me. If that means 6 innings, 7 innings, so be it.
Cool.
I think that's the plan. Remember, he was on our show last week, and Max told us he is fully expecting to be treated very normally this year. He said the guys that are going to be most affected are young pitchers.
And who are still in the building phase.
And he agrees with that. He says his health over the years and the fact that he's been such a durable, rubber-armed ace is based on him being treated the way that he thinks the young guy should be treated now. And that is to not add exponential amounts of innings year in and year out to those arms. You bring them along at what I call kind of staircase development.
Mm-hmm.
You go 30 or 35 innings more than maybe you were each season, and next thing you know, you're able to go out there and pitch over 200 innings. As far as the Nats lineup goes today, let's just run through it really quickly with some thoughts on each guy. Victor Robles, this is our first shot to see him as a leadoff batter in a game that matters in 2021. He's playing center field, obviously. A vital member of this team this year.
So pivotal.
They need him to break out. Last year was a huge disappointment. It's kind of boom or bust time, like make or break time for Vic, and he's more important now because of all the guys they're missing.
Yeah, guys have to graduate in any organization that wants to stay good and keep the window open. He's got to be not just pretty good, but great for them this year.
We didn't think Trey Turner was going to play.
He is.
Was not at the workout yesterday. He's on the roster. He's starting and playing shortstop. He'll bat second.
Electric difference maker. Has a chance to be an MVP caliber player if he puts a full 162 together.
Juan Soto, all offseason long, every writer in the country has been writing their Juan Soto story. Jason Stark comparing him to Ted Williams. We just had Jeff Passan on saying he's the next great superstar in the sport. If ever you needed a big 2 weeks out of Soto, one-man wrecking crew, carry this team while they wait for reinforcements.
Everyone else around him is critically important. Get on base, protect him. If he gets pitches to hit, he'll put up ungodly offensive numbers.
Zim protecting him today in the cleanup spot playing first base. He had a masterpiece of a spring.
Truly unbelievable. Not playing for a year, showing up, getting out of bed, and just hitting 480 with six bombs in spring training. It's ridiculous. Hope he stays hot.
We haven't seen Starlin Castro in a while. Got hurt early last year after being a big offseason addition. They've kicked him over to the hot corner today to play third base at fifth.
They need to be right about him. The guy that had a renaissance second half a couple years ago needs to be the guy that hits for them every day.
And particularly without Bell's power, without Schwarber's power, hitting fifth, you need him to drive the baseball. And then it's the bottom of the order with the guys that are in the lineup because the options you were planning on aren't available with the COVID protocols. Hernan Perez, sixth. Stevenson, left fielder, seventh. And Jonathan LaCroix will catch and bat eighth. But we've made it, Danny. The season is here. We've waited for months and then for days after
and then
that.
More days.
But we did it, buddy. The Nats are about to play real baseball on the Fan.
Let's go, man. Let's go, Nats.
Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler have your pregame show. And about a half hour from right now, the first pitch on a brand new season. Enjoy Nats baseball throughout the day. The doubleheader, of course, tomorrow. And we will be back at it on Thursday on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.